2 Timothy chapter 1 last week, and of course the subject of the course is survival. Somebody tell me what other word that begins with an E that we see in 2 Timothy that is the same as survival? Yes, ma'am.
Endure.
We were in college and we had the crazy idea that it would be a good idea to camp on the beach. Don't ever camp on the beach. Have you ever done that? You're camped on the beach? If you like sand, it's okay. But after about a day, everything, including you and everything around you, is covered in sand. And so we went, and we did have a canvas tent with big stakes. And don't know what possessed us to do that, but we put the tent up, and we drove the stakes in the ground. So that night, a big windstorm came, which happens on the beach every day. And we look up and down the beach, and all these people with these little tiny tents with stakes about that long, they did not endure. And that's a good thought about endurance, is enduring, is surviving the storm. Amen? That's what endurance is. Are there storms in life? Is the devil going to try to stop you? Are people going to discourage you? Yes, all those things happen. And we want to stand before the Lord one day as those who endured. Amen? And can we get strength from him to endure? Of course we can. So that's the theme of the course, is to survive or to endure. And as we know, 2 Timothy talks about perilous times. So the homework, read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, and answer a few questions. And let's just begin by reading that. And then I'll let you help me out with some of these questions here. Timothy and then Titus. There we go. All right. Okay, chapter 1, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, I'm going to read verse 8 just so we get the context. He says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us," amen, "and called us with an holy calling." You'll see that word holy a lot. "Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath," "who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." All right, Paul was appointed to be three things, at least three things. Somebody tell me the first one. Raise your hand and I'll call on you. Yes, ma'am. Okay, verse 11, right? What does a preacher do? What does he preach? I know a preacher is a guy that can really tell good stories, right?
Well, that too.
He may have a few good stories, but that's not preaching. You heard of a skyscraper message? You know what a skyscraper message is? Donald, you know what a skyscraper message is? It's a message that's got story on top of story on top of story on top of story. And it's a skyscraper message. Okay, anyway. No, preaching is the Word of God. Amen? We proclaim the Word of God. Amen? You know, I've heard some people stand up and do some excellent oratory. There's a difference in oratory and preaching. Now, hopefully the preacher is a good orator. Hopefully he's a good speaker. But the important thing is the Word of God. All right, that's one, is a preacher. What else was he appointed to be? Somebody, yes, ma'am. An apostle. Oh, boy, what's an apostle? An apostle. The Mormon church says they have, what, 70 apostles, Alan? Is that right? Alan was in Utah for a while. He knows what we've seen up there. An apostle. What's an apostle, Alan?
It's one that has seen Jesus.
Yeah. In order to be an apostle, you had to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone says, well, what about Paul? Not a problem. The Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus, didn't he? Yeah, amen. Now, an apostle, what does the word apostle mean? Does anybody know? It's a little kind of a trivia question almost, but it's an important. The word apostle means one who is sent. One who's sent. Kind of like missionary. It's kind of the same as missionary, the meaning of the word. It's somebody who is sent. Who sent Paul? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so he is an apostle. He's appointed to be that. We had a church on the road near us in Maryland, and we would drive by, and they had a picture of the guy that was the leader of the church, and it said, "This is Apostle so-and-so." And I thought, well, no, not true. Apostle. Okay, so understand that. In order to be an apostle, you had to see the Lord Jesus Christ physically, visibly see him. What else is he appointed to be? Somebody else, raise your hand. Yes, ma'am.
Teacher.
Okay, is there a difference in a preacher and a teacher?
Yes.
Alan, help us with that.
Well, preacher preaches the word of God.
Okay.
With authority.
Amen.
Straightforward, with impact.
Okay. Amen.
A teacher can be enthusiastic, but a teacher is one who teaches the word of God for understanding.
Good answer. Okay, so we have Sunday school teachers, amen? And I had a meeting with a lady yesterday. Brenda was so kind. She allowed me to go visit one of her friends over here. You should pray for her. Her name is Bruni. She's a very nice lady. Her first language is German. And she's got a nice German, nice thick German accent. And she asked us some questions about some things. And I tried to teach her some facts, some information, some Bible that would answer her question. And we talked to her about things like, we have Sunday school teachers. They teach our children. So when I was talking to Bruni yesterday, I said, "Have you ever heard of Noah's Ark?" Yeah. Somebody taught her about that. Amen? Now, sadly, today, children aren't going to Sunday school, so they're not hearing those stories. But when you take all those stories in the Old Testament, when you start to teach somebody out of the Old Testament, I think the stories are there as memory aids as much as anything else. If I mention Daniel in the lion's den, then I start to think about the things around that part of the Bible and what was happening then. And that event kind of sticks in my mind. Or, of course, Jonah and the whale, those kind of things. Excuse me. So, teachers, somebody who teaches. All right. So, Paul was appointed to be those three things. Who appointed him? The Lord. Amen?
Amen.
If God gives you an appointment, then what do you have to do? Well, I don't want that appointment, so I will decline. Is that an option? No. You can decline. God's not going to make you slave labor. But I tell you this, it'd be a sad thing to stand before him one day having declined his appointments. Item B, what did Paul suffer in verse 12? Just a simple phrase. Anybody? What'd you put down, brother?
I read that verse. It's got to be the cause of Christ.
Okay. What'd you put, Tanya?
Because he was not ashamed of the gospel.
Okay. Did I ask, why? No wonder, reading the question wrong. No wonder. Why did he suffer? Good, because he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. And what'd you say?
He suffered because he wanted to spread the gospel.
Yeah, he says there's a cause. He says, for the which cause I suffer these things. The reason he was suffering is because God appointed him to be an apostle. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think he's more. I'm not sure the exact Hebrew or
whatever. Yeah.
But suffer these things more like he has taken upon himself these things and all that is worked.
But if you read verse 11 and verse 12, you got to kind of. Everybody here should be able to see this. It's not hard. Is God? Yes, Brenda. I like that answer. It's good. God gave him an appointment. He accepted the appointment, and he suffered. So, wait a minute. I thought that everything God did was just to make us happy and rich and famous and comfortable, and the guy on TV said that, and he must be right because he's on TV, right? He's rich and famous and got a big house and a jet and probably going to go to hell when he dies. But anyway, here's the story, folks. If God gives us a calling, there's going to be a price to pay. Amen? You might, after church today or sometime in spare time, read the back of the bulletin. Interesting thought. If you reflect the Bible, people are going to treat you the way they treat the Bible.
Amen?
In other words, if you live for God, then people are going to treat you the way they treat God, and people treat God pretty bad. So we'll talk about that some more. Let's keep going. All right, I'm never going to get to today's lesson if I'm not careful. Paul said, even though he suffered, he was not, what? Michelle? Not ashamed. Why would somebody be ashamed? Why would somebody be ashamed? Think about that a minute. Linda? Yeah. Yeah, mocking her or making fun of her. Yeah. Ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. He was in prison. Usually people in prison did something wrong, right? He's falsely accused. He's not ashamed. He's not a criminal. He's suffering for the cause of Christ. Let me ask you this. The Bible says that they put Christ to an open shame, right? He was despised and rejected. And then the Bible says, we're not greater than our master. If they did that to him, they'll do it to us. So Paul said, I'm not ashamed. So when you suffer, you know, your neighbors, you know, they got a brand new car. And they went on a three-week vacation to Disney World, which would cost a fortune nowadays, I guess. And so anyway, and you couldn't quite afford to do that because what you have done is you've decided I'm going to send missionaries out to reach the lost. And I could have saved that money up and gone on a big vacation, but I chose to send missionaries out to reach the lost. You shouldn't be ashamed. Amen? Amen. Just ask yourself this question. When you step into that place called eternity and you're there with the Lord Jesus Christ and you look back at your life, what are you going to be ashamed of? Not the times you stood for Christ, right? Okay, let's keep going here. One more. God has called us with what? What kind of calling? Holy. What does that mean? It's a holy calling. What's the word holy mean? I'm sorry? Separated. It's unique. It's separated. How can you say that differently? It's not just an ordinary calling, amen? It's a holy calling. Yeah, it's a calling of God, amen? And so, folks, you and I each have some kind of a calling, amen? You're saved, and so there you go. All right, here we go. I got a handout for you, and if I can have somebody help me with that, Brother Greg. I think I printed 27 today, so I should have enough for everybody. And if I don't, we can get some more. In our society, we understand what it means to learn from an expert. For example, we're, as a society, it's kind of silly, but if you think about it, as a society, we're willing to pay somebody, the best of the golfers, we're willing to pay them millions of dollars because they are at the peak of their game, and they know they're better at it than anybody else, and so we would like to emulate them if we're a golfer, and I'm not. So they get a lot of money, and they endorse items, and they write books, and they talk, and we watch how they play, and we watch how they hold the club maybe, or how they swing or whatever. Yeah, those people that play golf would understand that. Same thing goes for tennis. Same thing goes for basketball. Same thing goes for professional sports. We understand what it means to learn from an expert. I would assert that Paul was an expert survivor. He was an expert at enduring. Beaten, shipwrecked, left for dead, stoned, kept on going. What's the first thing that I think you have to do? You'll see it implied in verse 1 of chapter 2. And you look at that verse, it says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And I'm reading that verse, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Is there strength available? Is strength available? Amen. Amen. And by the way, let's understand that verse well. What is the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Grace. What does grace mean? Grace. Yes, ma'am. Donna. Okay. Unmerited favor. Favor. For example, if somebody does something kind for you today, they came in and they gave you a nice gift, and you say, why are you doing that? And they just said, just because I wanted to. That's a gracious thing to do, amen?
Amen.
And God is gracious. Now, what is the greatest demonstration of God's grace?
Our salvation.
Right. He sent his son to die and pay for our sins. The more I learn about the world, the more astounded I am that God would send his son to die for the world. Wow. It's just within the last week. Again, folks, we got to stop watching the news quite so much. I asked somebody about the news yesterday, and they said, well, I don't know. And I thought, praise the Lord. Because when you read the news, all you hear is bad things that discourage you. But in the last week, you know, mass shootings, suicides, horrible crimes against children, all sorts of things going on. And Christ died for those sins. Wow. How can you comprehend that grace? And we can't even see it through the right eyes. Wait till we're in eternity and we can see it through a mind that's not longer clouded by all the things that confuse us. The grace of God is astounding. So, but think with me carefully now. Paul says to Timothy, be strong in that grace. You have to agree with me. He says, Timothy, you need to make a decision to do that. All right? Now let me say it differently. If I said to you, I don't know, if I said to you, make sure you see Brother Mendez at the end of the day to get your free gift. Well, you got to decide to do that, right? Go to him and tell him I said that. We'll see what he comes up with. But you got to decide to do that because it's available, but we need to choose to do it. I'm going to shock you maybe a little bit, but sadly, I know there are Christians that have chosen not to do that. They've chosen not to endure. They've chosen, no, I don't want to pay the price. I don't want to go through that. And so I'm not going to do that. First step to surviving is trying to survive.
Amen.
We've heard stories. I've seen personally situations to where a married couple that was up in the years. I've heard something about one of those this week, that there was a married couple and the one spouse died. And then within a day, the other spouse had died. They just gave up on life. And folks, why should we want to endure? For our Savior. Amen? And we can endure. And you say, well, Pastor, I've seen other folks that didn't endure. I've seen other folks that weren't authentic. I've seen other folks that, I know, lots of people have died. That doesn't mean I want to. You know?
Yeah.
Lots of people have gotten sick. That doesn't mean I want to get sick. For the Lord. By the way, we're bought by Him, right?
Amen.
We're not our own. We're bought with a price. Okay? So we've already talked about in the first couple of lessons, there are things that we have to endure. Now, this lesson, which we will finish next week, I'm sure, is how? How are we going to endure? Some more of that practicality of that. Commitment. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, if you go back there, Paul told Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard in me. He tells him in verse 14 of chapter 1, he says, you need to keep by the Holy Ghost that thing which was committed unto thee. He says in verse 1 of chapter 2, be strong in the grace. It's all a decision that we make. I see people come to church and they hear the word of God and they don't come back. And I ask myself, why? And I've seen a lot of pastors ask that question. And they think, well, maybe I need to be more entertaining. Maybe the music needs to be bouncier. Maybe we need to redecorate the auditorium, or maybe we need to paint the parking lot, or maybe they didn't come back because, I don't know, they didn't like the color of the carpet or something. Folks, if you're here for the word of God, the rest of that doesn't matter nearly so much, does it? And what did Abraham tell the rich man in Luke chapter 16? He said to that rich man who was in hell, who wanted Abraham to send Lazarus back from paradise to witness to his five family members who were not saved. He said, send somebody to them. That's interesting. People in hell are missions minded. He said, send somebody back to my five brethren so they won't come to this place also. And what was Abraham's answer? They have Moses and the prophets. And what's that? That's the word of God.
Amen.
They have the word of God. And if they won't hear that, they will not be more impressed even if somebody raises from the dead. If Lazarus came back from the dead and they had, that guy's resurrected. If they wouldn't listen to the word of God, they wouldn't listen to that. And folks, that's one of the reasons as a church we need to reflect the word of God. Amen? And in our life, we need to reflect the word of God. You say, Pastor, I read the Bible, I quote the Bible, I live the Bible, I teach the Bible, and people don't seem to be interested. I'm telling you, you're in the right place. You're not the problem, okay? If that's you, you're not the problem. It's those people that turn away from the Bible. Somebody says, well, you know, well, Pastor, I'm too busy. Too busy for God's word. Somebody says, well, Pastor, I want some other things, and so I'm working extra. You want more than God's word? Oh, anyway, I'm on a tangent there. Okay, you got a handout, right? Okay, here we go. Survival means enduring. Amen? Commitment means to keep the what? Okay, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 14. Let me see what answer I got out of that. He says, am I in the right place? 1:14, I'm sorry. Chapter 1:14. I got to paraphrase this, and I didn't capitalize God. I was in a hurry. Yeah, that good thing, okay? To keep that good thing that God hath committed to us. In other words, folks, the things that God's given us are good things. The gospel, amen? What's a better thing than the gospel? The word of God, what's a better thing than the word of God? A church and missions and the things that we do to reach souls for Christ. That's a good thing. Somebody says, well, Pastor, I want a big boat. A big boat's not as good as the gospel. a little boat's not as good as the gospel. Nothing is as good as the gospel. Amen? And by the way, the Lord says he'll add things to you. Anyway, so now chapter 3, and we'll just get a little chunk of this in and we'll finish up next week, but you still got to do your homework. Here we go. Chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, be what?
Strong.
Strength is a response to the danger. And it is a response to the danger with strength. And he says to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's not our strength. It's his. We gain much strength from the grace of Christ. I think you need to think about that till it becomes real to you. We gain strength from the grace of Christ. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We believe it was very, very, very bad eyesight to the point to where he would have been legally blind. There's one place in the Bible where he's writing a letter, and he had to write it himself, and so he wrote very large letters so he could see what he had written. So apparently he had a little bit of vision, but not enough. He prayed to God to take that away. Can God take that away? Sure can. God didn't take it away. What was God's answer? My grace is sufficient for you. I'm sure when you meet Paul in heaven, you can ask him to explain that a little bit, but he would tell you, God knew better than I did. You got a hardship, you got a trial, you got a weakness, you got a storm. God knows better than we do. Amen? Be strong in the grace. And then he says, in verse 2, the things thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And I would just remind you, it's important for us to be faithful. All right. Now next, choose to endure what?
Hardness.
Hardness. What is hardness? Hardness. Somebody tell me some practical examples of hardness in this life. We got one already. That little girl prays for her meal and people make fun of her. That's hard. It wouldn't bother me, but I'm not a little girl. But other things bother me. It bothers me when people are apathetic towards God's word or towards church or whatever. But anyway, what's hardness? Somebody. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Greg and I were knocking doors. A fellow came out. He was very unhappy. And he was going to do whatever he could to stop us. He was going to report the authorities. I'm going to call the office. It's hard. It's hard because, honestly, why are you there? To keep the guy out of hell. And the one I get the biggest kick out of, I'd be putting flyers on people's door. Just a copy of the Gospel of John. How offensive can that be? And a fellow will run you down. He will come find you. I did his apartment 20 minutes ago, and I'm over here in the other part of the complex, and he got that Gospel of John. He's going to find who gave that to him and tell them how. Come on. A fellow came to me one time like that in the neighborhood, and he said, "Why did you put this on my door?" I said, "It's a gift." And he said, "Well, it says no soliciting." I said, "It's a gift." He said, "I don't want it." I said, "Then throw it away. It's a gift." "Well, why did you do that?" "It's a gift." And after about a half a dozen times, he realized, what am I going to say? I gave you that. I cared enough to stop by your door and give you this. If it hurts your feelings that much, I wish I could help you. But what can I do? So since everybody else over here says they might be interested and you're not, I understand, but I'm going to try and reach them anyway. Amen? Alan.
I have a professor in Baptist Bible College that used to tell us he's a pastoral theology teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, heart. That's good. That's good. Thick skin though is pretty tough. Let's go on. All right. So endurance. He says, endure hardness like a good soldier. Verse 3. We're in the Lord's army. Amen. Any of you that were in the army? Army, not Air Force, not Navy, not Marines, just Army. Any Army people here besides me? Raise your hand. No Army people? Okay, where's all the Air Force guys? Okay. Navy? Marines? Wow, we have a small group in this category. I can't tell the joke accurately without reading the written version, but if you tell a Marine to secure a building, what the Marine will do, they will storm the building, they will kill all the inhabitants, and they'll set up a perimeter and post machine guns. You heard that part? If you tell the army to secure a building, you know, they'll throw in tear gas, they'll come in, shoot the place up, build a perimeter around it, and man the guard posts. You tell the Air Force to secure a building, they'll get a 2-year lease on it and open a theater and an ice cream stand. But you got to admit it's funny, okay? And the ice cream in Vietnam always came from the Air Force people. They always had ice cream, them and the Navy. The Army, we don't even know what ice cream is. But anyway, hardness is something that goes along with battle. When you are in battle, you tend not to be in the most comfortable places. I have found this. We go into the trailer courts, into the neighborhoods around the church. They're not the nicest part of town. But the people there are some of the nicest people I've ever met. And they need to be saved from their sin. Amen? Hardness. You know what hardness is. Hardness is the things that we endure, that we have to endure, that otherwise could stop us. When you're in the army and it gets cold, you don't go home. When you're in the army and it gets hot, you don't go home. When you're hungry, when you're tired, when your feet are sore, when it's raining. Some of my most horrible memories in the army, I'm laying on the ground with water dripping on me off of a tree and I can't move because I'm in a position where I got to be still. And you're cold and you're wet and you're hungry and you're tired. But there's a cause, amen? We fight a battle. We have a cause? If you didn't have a good cause, see, that's the trouble today. Everybody's cause is their own cause. I want to be, I want to have, I want to do. I don't care about anybody else but me. You're not likely to last very long in the army like that, are you? I got to go on. Okay, real quick. We'll get a couple more of these. So he goes on. He talks about endurance. He says not to get entangled in the affairs of this life. They have no eternal value. He says we are here to please in verse 4. Who? Who are we here to please? Verse 4. Yeah, read the verse. You're right, but read the verse. At the end of the verse, what does it say? Him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Who chose you to be a soldier? The Lord, amen? So he's the one we please. Amen, that's good. Verse 5. This is interesting. No cheating. I'll explain that a little bit if I can without taking too much time. He says, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. In other words, there's a crown to be won, but we've got to do it God's way. Hard for me to think of a good example of cheating, but I just got to say that you got to do it God's way. You got to keep God's rules. Amen. We do what God said to do, the way God said to do it, and that's how we achieve the mastery. He says in verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must first be first partaker of the fruits. There's a lot of principles here that really don't directly apply to survival, but here's a good thought. When you go soul winning and somebody gets saved, or when you invite somebody to church and that person gets saved, doesn't that just thrill your soul? You are a partaker, a first partaker of those fruits. Amen? The closer you are to the work, the more you will be rewarded. If you gave money to send a missionary and they see results, that's pretty close. If you're the missionary, that's even closer. Amen? So don't be ashamed to be or afraid to be close to the work. All right, so we talked about strength and we talked about endurance a little bit. Let's look at the next one. It's item C on here. Understand that it is because of what that we suffer. And it's in verses 9 through 12. Might want to read those verses to you and we can think about that a minute. He says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Amen. It's because of Jesus Christ that we suffer. It's because of the Lord. It's for the Lord. It's because we identify with the Lord. It's for his sake. He suffered for us. This is hard to understand, but folks, you and I are allowed to be partakers. It's given to us not as a burden, but as a privilege. I can explain this way. When you stand before the Lord one day, he suffered, and you will be able to say, I suffered not as much as he did, but I suffered with him, because of him, for him. We used to sit around at the end of an exercise in the Army, and we'd talk about all the things we had to go through. Yeah, we had to dig a 4-foot deep foxhole, and the ground was like rocks. And then the Air Force came and put an ice cream stand there. I don't know. Anyway, we all walked 10 miles together. We all had to walk 10 miles carrying our equipment. And it had to do it in a certain amount of time. And we all did it. And then the fellow that didn't go on the march, what's he got to say? Oh, good for you guys. It feels good to accomplish something, doesn't it? When you step into eternity, don't you want to have accomplished some things for the Lord? To have some stories to tell, so to speak. Although I don't think it'll be quite that way. But here's a thought. When you and I endure things, we are partaking of the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. Right now, it seems difficult. In eternity, it's going to be a wonderful thing. All right, so we're suffering. It's because of Jesus Christ that we suffer. Let's look at verse 14. He says, of these things that he's been talking about up till now, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Now, let me just come back and read the main bullets to you so you can see what I'm talking about. If we're going to survive, we need strength. Now, if we're going to survive, we must endure hardness. If we're going to survive, we should understand what we're surviving for, who we're surviving for. We need to understand that. You're suffering for Christ. Someone says, I don't want to suffer. Let's finish that sentence. I don't want to suffer for Christ. We wouldn't want to say that, would we? I can say I don't want to suffer, but I have to also say, if I'm suffering for Christ and he chooses for me to suffer, it's okay to suffer. Amen?
Amen.
And then instruction. What he's saying there in verse 14 is, focus on the truth. Teach men true things. Don't waste your time arguing with people. Someone says, well, the Greek word for so-and-so is da-da-da-da. And that, so that verse really means, no, we're not going to do that. I can tell you the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. I can answer 1,000 Bible questions for you if you would like, and probably show you some verses for most of those answers. But I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. That's not what we're about. I will earnestly contend for the faith. But I have spent way too many hours, Alan will amen this, arguing with Mormons to no profit.
Amen.
If you are not willing to deny the teaching that Jesus Christ used to be a man that sinned and he had to get saved and become a God, if you really believe that, I don't know how to help you.
That's right.
You don't believe the Bible.
All right,
we're going to stop right there. We are out of time. So I will go ahead and mention number 15. It's so obvious. Go ahead and answer that one if you would. What's the answer to number E for verse 15?
Study.
Ah, homework. Yes, amen. So read chapter 3. List those five characteristics of perilous times which we live in. And we'll finish the last couple of questions next week and then move on. And we are racing through 2 Timothy, but I'm trying just to get you the thought of survival out of it, not everything else that's in there. There's a whole lot more, obviously. Questions?